Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Space News Pod. This is a show about SpaceX, NASA, and spaceflight. I'm your host, Will Walden. Today's episode is all about Starship going to the moon. And there are certain things that SpaceX has to do with Starship before they can send the Starship to the lunar surface for the Artemis missions. One of those things is a propellant transfer in Earth orbit. Another thing they have to do is IFT4, which is the next flight of Starship. This video is brought to you by Current. It's a great bank. I use it myself, and I'll tell you more about that later on in the video. And they're in the process right now of readying Starship for the flight, readying the booster for the flight, and the FAA, SpaceX are both working together to check off items before they can actually send Starship to space again. Now, IFT3 went really well, according to SpaceX, and also according to NASA. A NASA spokesperson said that SpaceX expects to launch Starship Super Heavy test flight by the end of May. That is incredible. If this is a turnaround, it's about a 1.5-month turnaround for a Starship launch. And if this keeps happening, we could possibly see a new Starship launch every single month. How wild would that be? I'm all for it. Now, we also have some more information about the lunar journey for Starship. This is the huge one. Low Earth orbit is big, but going to the moon is the first step to going to Mars. Now, they have to do a propellant transfer during a flight in order to show NASA that they are capable of sending a Starship to the moon. Now, this is important here because in the next year, by 2025, they want to be able to do this. So it's 2024 now, almost midway. And if they can do this by 2025, ship-to-ship propellant transfer demo, they're going to launch two Starships that will meet in low Earth orbit. And then they'll rendezvous and dock two Starships. Two Starships will dock together. Then they'll transfer propellant between those two Starships. That's what they need to do. But before they do that, that's going to be in 2025. But before they do, let's roll back to 2024. The tipping point propellant transfer demo happened during Flight 3. This is confirmed by NASA. Propellant transfer demo flight system review in 2024, confirmed and completed by SpaceX. And it's confirmed by NASA. That is an overview of the mission architecture, high-level Starship and hardware designs, key subsystems, preliminary integration of models and analysis. Now, the next thing they have to do is propellant transfer hardware development. Build, test, and integration of docking mechanisms. This is for the two Starships that dock together and transfer propellant. Relative navigation sensors. So they have to be able to navigate near each other and to each other from a launch. Quick disconnect. And also hot gas thrusters. So when they're up there, they have to be able to move around in space. That's what the hot gas thrusters are for. So when they're close, they have to, you know, those little ones that go psht, 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 those ones, that's what they're talking about. They have to be able to navigate while they're in space. They're virtually weightless, so they need something to push them around when they're in space. So the hot gas thrusters, they're testing those in 2024. Now, that may be in a future launch. IFT4, which is coming up by the end of May, which we were talking about before, they're going to do a test of the landing of the booster in the Gulf of Mexico. And also they're going to test a Starship coming back into orbit at the highest temperature that it can go. So those are the next steps for IFT-4. Now, going back to the propellant demo, there will be two starships involved, two different starships. One's a Starship Target. This is a new thing. And then there's a Starship Chaser. Now, let's go over the Target starship first. It launches first. Then it receives propellant during the transfer, has active docking mechanisms, has passive, relative navigation features, and also performs a deorbit burn. So when it's in orbit, it'll fly back down to Earth. This is important because IFT-4 is testing those systems. The deorbit burn is super important for this to work. Now, there's a second starship that's going up, the Starship Chaser, which launches second. It chases the target. Target goes first. The chaser flies after it and catches it. It transfers the propellant to the target, has passive docking mechanisms. The other one had active and has active relative navigation sensors and performs deorbit burn as well. So both of these starships will launch to orbit and both will come back down to Earth. That alone is a huge deal for Starship's lunar ambitions. So the ship-to-ship propellant transfer, let's go over it real quick. They're going to launch two starships, and then they can meet in orbit. They're going to rendezvous, dock together, and then they're going to transfer propellant between the two and then return to Earth and land on the Mechazilla at Starbase Texas. That's in 2025. Now, after that, the Artemis missions will start the lunar architecture system for Starship. Starship and SpaceX have a 10-year lunar architecture capability study, the Luna 10, that's just been released. Lunar Surface Innovation Consortium, LSIC, was the first to break this. Now, we're going to go into this a little bit because there's a lot to cover here. I want to give you guys $50. Now, okay, hold on. I want to give you $50, but you have to do something. And this, you have to sign up for a current account. It's Current, my bank. Okay. I've been with Current for years. They've treated me very well. And it's all done through the Current app. You don't ever have to go to a bank, but they are FDIC insured and they are very, very secure. There's checking accounts, savings accounts, teen accounts. You can buy crypto on there. Anything you want to do like a normal bank, but it's so much better than any bank interface you're used to. It's just so much simpler. That's why I use them. Everything else is easy. They actually have like a payday advance thing too. So if you need money before your paycheck comes in, they'll loan you the money until your check comes in. It's wild. They're a great bank, great institution, and they're sponsoring this channel. Now, if you want $50, use my link in the description and sign up for an account. You get $50. I get an affiliate $50. I got to make that clear to you that you make some money. I get some money too. It's free to sign up. And my link is in the description. If you use my link, that's the only way you can get the $50. So let's get back to spaceflight news. SpaceX designs, manufactures, and launches the world's most advanced rockets to enable Luna 10 and other commercial partners. Transportation, Starship. It's affordable. It's huge. You can take anything you want to on a Starship, basically. It'll be leveraged to enable Luna 10 and other commercial partners. So Luna 10 is SpaceX's 10-year ambitious plan to go to the moon and start the process of building on the moon too. A surface platform. We've never heard of this before. This is brand new to everybody. Post-landing, Starships are large surface platforms that can provide services and host third-party equipment. So it can become something else once it lands. It's not a Starship anymore. It becomes a platform. And then SpaceX brings its expertise and experience operating a fleet of 6,000 LaserLink Starlink satellites to lunar operations. So we know now, it's been confirmed by SpaceX that they're going to be used some sort of Starship and Starlink capabilities together on the lunar surface. And they go on to say that Starship is the most powerful launch vehicle right now, which is the truth, but they have a framework in mind for this. Transit and mobility is the Starship, communications is the Starlink, and third-party hosting and services. So when the Starship's landed on the moon, it can provide power and communications to third parties and possibly storage as well. So they want to be able to do this affordably. So affordable mass transfer between Earth and moon is foundational to enabling sustainable lunar presence. Now, Starship will recoup R&D investments via a variety of other use cases, including terrestrial satellite launches. Satellite launches from the moon? Is that true? Could they do that? Okay. Three Starship landings begin a robust lunar base. So it only takes three to start a lunar colony. Utility Starship. It says Starship One. Hub for power, communications, data, and commodities storage. So this will power everything that comes after it. This is the hub. This is the utility. This is the thing that everybody needs in order to survive and thrive on the lunar surface. The rolling stock Starship. These are new Starships. Rovers, construction equipment, ISRU plants, and other site-specific payloads. So rovers, could we possibly see some sort of hybrid Starship and Tesla vehicle? Maybe. That would be great. Construction equipment, things to make landing pads possibly, things to make roads, and also to level the lunar regolith so they can build a colony up there. Then Habitation Starship is number three. Speaking of colonies, serves as a crew habitat for the site. So they're going to land that, and then the crew will be able to use all of these tools to build on the moon. Now, we're going to go into depth about the Utility Starship. Then we're going to go into a little bit more information. We're going to get some more information about the actual mission here. Starship lands, deploys cargo, and services. Pretty straightforward. Provides backhaul between moon and Earth, which is great. Local connectivity through hosted payloads. Starship provides about 55 meters of height. So they're going to use this as communication as well. So provides on the order of tens of kilowatts to hosted payloads, and surface users can provide 100 plus kilowatts if configured. So that's the power the Starship has. Probably some sort of solar panels in this. I mean, there's going to be solar on the Starship itself, but they're probably going to build solar panels on the ground, on the lunar surface, for the astronauts to use for future missions. Post-landing utility of lunar cargo delivery Starships. Starship can deliver 100 plus tons of lunar cargo and remain as a surface asset itself. Edit this out. It can do numerous things. Propellant and fluid storage. Empty prop tanks provide fluid storage space, which could be other propellant, could be maybe water in the future if they empty it out. And this might not be drinking water. This could be for septic systems or things like that. Oxygen tanks hold about 1,000 tons of liquid oxygen. Could use tanks to store other liquid or gases. They could use it for methane boil-off available for lunar surface users. So they're talking about people going to the moon with Starship. It's going to be, they have a whole plan for this. We know that they were planning on it, but we didn't know what the plan was until right now. Now, land a Starship surface platform to provide power, habitation, communications connectivity, fluid and commodity storage, components and materials. It'll be a way for humans to go to the moon, use rovers, use equipment, build on the moon's surface, and then set up a colony there so they can learn how to live in space. And then eventually, SpaceX could send people to Mars. This is how they test the Mars habitation. They do it on the moon first. If this works, within 10 years from now, we could possibly see a lunar surface base and also the beginnings of a Mars base. Let me know in the comments what you think about this. Do you think they could do this? Think they could do this lunar habitat? Do you think it's way too difficult? Or do you think that they could make Mars base too? Let me know in the comments, because I want to have a discussion about this. I think there is going to be differing opinions about this. Let yourself go wild there in the comments, because there's a lot of information out there. And also, if you don't have really anything to say, the engagement is really important. So leave a comment with a rocket emoji or any emoji you want to, actually. And also, if you'd like this video, hit the thumbs up. It's what we do on YouTube. Leave a comment, of course, and also subscribe to the channel, because not only will you get this channel, but you'll also get other spaceflight channels because YouTube will see that you like the video about spaceflight. You'll also see that you subscribe to a channel about spaceflight and you commented about a spaceflight channel. So they're going to be sending you more and more SpaceX and Starship content in your feed from different creators, not just me. I get a little bit out of this because I got you as a homie now, as a friend. So now we can hang out and you can be part of this cool community. So become part of the pod squad and hit the sub button with maximum dynamic pressure. Take care, everybody. That's it for today. I'll see you in the next one.